Please be seated. He had every right to be bitter and to dwell on all the wrong with his life, all that he had lost, but he didn't. For some reason, he was able to focus on the positive, on all that was right, on all that he still had. He had every reason to be depressed and to complain and even rail at God about his dire circumstances. But instead, he somehow found a way to be thankful. He had every justification to look on the dark side of his situation. But somehow, he was full of hope. And he had every reason to give up. But instead, he pressed on, even with the odds against him. You see, we're not always free to determine what happens to us, but we are relatively free to choose how we respond to whatever happens. Does that little story hit home for you a little bit? Can you see a little bit of your own circumstance in this story? But here's the thing. For a change, I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about any of us post-Hurricane Michael, even though it might fit. Instead, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul and what he had to say about tough times in his letter to the Philippians from today's readings. You see, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, but he had a choice to make. He had every reason to be bitter and depressed and negative. He had every justification to focus on all that he'd lost, on the darkness that surrounded him. No one would have blamed him had he given up. But instead he writes, "I press on. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And there's a part of me that thinks that Paul's letter to the Philippians is written as much to himself as it is to them. You see, it was true for Paul then, and it is true for you and me today. In the difficult situations of life, we have a choice. We have a choice of what we maximize and what we minimize. We have a choice of where we put our focus. We have a choice of how we respond to whatever confronts us. And I'm not talking about those smiley face assurances and stiff upper lip optimism, as Father Tom likes to refer to it. I'm talking about something that's more meaningful, something that's more purposeful. At Holy Nativity School, the younger kids get a Bible verse each week that they memorize, and they take great pride in reciting at the Wednesday chapels. A few days after the storm, someone sent me a picture of that particular teacher's classroom. On the whiteboard was written the Bible verse for October 10th, the day the storm hit. The verse was this: "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I don't know if that was a coincidence or a God thing, but I know it was poignant and it was timely. But as I looked at that picture, that Bible verse, something stood out to me that I'd really never considered before. I think sometimes when scripture is familiar to us, I wonder if we sometimes don't hear what it really says. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, I think we're tempted sometimes to hear that verse in the context of some Olympian feat, or if we have sufficient faith, we'll be able to accomplish anything. But when we do that, I think we tend to ignore the most important word. For me, the most important word is do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Paul doesn't say I can be all things. Paul doesn't say I can have all things. Paul said I can do all things. Because for Paul, it wasn't about money or things or power or prestige. That wasn't what empowered him. It was about his relationship with Christ and what Christ had called him to do. He was in prison. He had no choice. He detached himself from the non-essentials of life and he focused on what really mattered. Paul understood that most of us don't have the strength we need because our focus might be misplaced. Paul found the joy and the peace that all of us seek not through the circumstances of his life, but through a choice to walk a way of gratitude, doing whatever he could for the Christ he found in those around him. We got a Christmas card this week from some old friends. And these friends always write a little note on their card to let us know how they're doing. And this year, this is what they wrote. "We have been worried about you since the storm, but we're thankful to hear that for the most part, the storm missed you." Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? There is not a single part of our lives that wasn't affected by the storm. I thought my head might explode. And to make it even worse, we come to find out they got their information from one of our family members. People don't get it. Even people who love us don't get it. You have to be here to understand the depth of this disaster and the enormity of this recovery. And I probably stewed about that Christmas card, for a good 2 hours. I couldn't focus on anything else. And then it was time for Wednesday night. And I watched as a bunch of people who really care for each other came together and shared a meal. I saw kids laughing and playing. I watched AJ pull up with a Christmas tree duct taped to a rolling cart to lead us through the cove, Christmas caroling, around, over, and through all the debris piles. And then a good friend told me of someone she knew who needed help this Christmas. And I was able to do something about that because of the contributions you've made to Advent Outreach. And before I knew it, I had let go of my rage over that misinformed Christmas card. And I found a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace that evening, even if it was just for a little while. You see, Paul is not exhorting us to lives of smiley face assurances and stiff upper lipped optimism. He's not saying that there's nothing to worry about or the things that we worry about are unimportant. Instead, he places all of that. He places our anxieties, our fears, our concerns in the context of a loving God. For it is there where we find the strength to do. And he invites us to make ourselves known to that God at our points of greatest vulnerability, and to do so with thanksgiving. That's not easy. We know that. But it's a choice. God love you. Amen.